This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Holy crapasauruses. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Cube Talk America. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. Along with the ride, for the ride this evening, is Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, and Al Perkins. Marnie Ryer has the week off. She's in the Twin Cities doing a 30-year class reunion. I can't reach that glass from here.
Me neither. City of Twins.
Fill that one, because that's what I use. And then we're going to give this one to Kat when she comes in. Or I'll drink both of them. I'm not sure. It doesn't matter.
Anyway, I'll play out.
Our first hour was, of course, getting acquainted with what you do last week. And we caught up on a whole bunch of stuff. Solved feminism with the help of Kat Carlson.
We did.
We figured it all out. And now this hour, of course, is our headlines hour. Coming up in hour three will be two things with Kat Carlson, if she has two things, and entertainment with Al Perkins. But in the meantime, we're here, we're queer, and it's Cue Talk America.
Get used to it.
It's time for headlines. Well, the Philadelphia Flyers have introduced an odd-looking new team mascot. A 7-foot fuzzy creature named Gritty with a wild orange beard.
I'm sitting right here.
Let's cut to a picture of Gritty. There it is, right there. The character's debut triggered an outpouring of comments. That's what I'm trying to say. Comments online, including "Good luck sleeping tonight, Flyers fans," and there were also some comparisons to ZZ Top and the Muppets.
It's like the Wild Thing, like where the Wild Things are meets that really creepy, like big orange Muppet guy.
Twitter users created memes with Gritty taking the place of horror movie villains and splicing his head onto other disturbing images. The cross-state rival Pittsburgh Penguins tweeted, "LOL." Okay, to which Gritty responded, "Sleep with one eye open tonight, you birds." The reaction seemed to be exactly what the Flyers were going for. Gritty's final tweet of the day included the message, "Good night, Internet," and a photo of the crazed-looking mascot squeezing what looked like to be champagne out of a squirt bottle, which I couldn't get that picture to come up correctly. But Gritty, crazy-looking mascot for the Philadelphia
Flyers. All the Philadelphia Flyers do is just dream up asshole things to mascot them.
That's a crazy-looking mascot.
I learned today, literally
good
today.
Good for you.
That mascota means pet in Spanish.
Mascota?
Like a mascot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, mascota. Okay, got it.
Pet. Didn't know that.
You got that?
Found out there was a word.
Look at you.
I didn't either. What the hell is Kat Carlson drinking?
Whiskey.
Is it on the rocks?
Whiskey for sale.
Well, I want to report something that you're in good company, because evidently that's what Gwyneth Paltrow now drinks. She drinks whiskey.
Where do you think I got the idea?
On the rocks.
She's a lady of good taste.
I also put a fair amount of sugar in.
And fucking wasted.
Yeah. Yeah, the girl. No judgment.
It's like a white trash old fashioned. There's a bunch of simple syrup in there, too.
There is?
Yeah.
You just made an old fashioned?
She's got that kind of time.
Who does that?
She's got that kind of time.
Who does that? She forgot bitters. There's no bitters, so it's just whiskey and sugar.
Oh, my God, it's delicious.
I know.
She does a lot with her 2 minutes.
Can we just sit around and drink whiskey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We're allowed to do that.
All right.
That's what this whole show's been about for many years.
I'm on board. You want me to make you one?
After this one, I'm thinking I just might.
Let's mix all the liquors together.
I feel
together
like that would help yourself. You, like, right before you go to bed. Just
I
knock
sat down
that back
today.
And
I
you
said,
go
here's
to
what
sleep.
I'm going to do. I'm going to go beer, then whiskey, then coffee.
Okay.
Hour 1, hour 2, hour 3.
And a little sidecar of champagne.
So just an update with Nero, because it's been cracking me up.
We do things right here.
So Nero is, you know, found a new love interest. They've been exploring the home La-di-da. And the kitchen and the apparently the living room.
Yeah.
So I brought up about, you know, check your credit.
Yeah, I saw it.
And so
yeah.
Nero said, "I have terrible credit." I'm like, "Good, be honest about it. Don't do the
exactly.
My life is perfect thing."
Exactly.
So, yeah, so sit her down and say,
I put in, "Don't bring up the third grade, but paint a realistic picture like I'm an ass in the morning or my retirement savings almost doesn't exist."
Right.
And she says, "I'm an asshole when my blood sugar is low." That's okay, honey. I have no retirement savings. That's a fair conversation.
It's perfect.
But I have sugar. Here.
And yeah. Also.
But I do have a candy bar. We're not going to live 30 years from now, but right now.
Drink your juice, Shelby.
Yeah.
It's also on that money piece. That's really true, because that is one of the biggest things that couples have a problem with, is that they lie about their money.
Yeah.
And lie to each other about money. Mm-hmm. Say, I have more than I really do. And then arguments start
it's
later.
The whole
and
part to Dirty
this
John.
Is back, we're talking about healthy marriages tonight, right? Time away.
I don't know why you're pointing at me.
And not, yeah. Because you were talking about it.
You're the only one in this room
marriage?
With a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you're the only
marriage.
One with
can
a significant other. But this
as,
is...
a, as a spokesperson for a healthy relationship.
Right.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Well, at this table, by default, you're the spokesperson.
If she's our baseline, we're
fucked.
You
could be married to a serial killer, and you'd still be the one in the relationship ahead of us. Well, so.
At least, I kind of like that.
It's very when Harry met Sally. At least she could say she was married.
Exactly. But that is one of the things that couples lie about.
We're going to go to your story.
And it's much better to be upfront and honest and say, oh, I remember what I was reading this about. How much debt do you have? You need to know that when you marry someone, what kind of debt. And so just say, I have $60,000 in student loans and whatever you know your debt is, and just be honest about it because it's just going to come up later.
Because the person that keeps handing over the credit card and picking up
the
checks.
No, that's the one to worry about.
Paying for everything and doing everything. Follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Where it all
why?
Their credit card comes out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How much you owe on it? Like, are we eating top ramen at home?
Exactly.
So you can look fancy out? There you go.
Probably.
I have my pocket full of carrots.
Speaking of looking fancy out.
Yes.
I need to do a cat.
Atta girl.
Come on.
There's a controversial new building in China.
Oh.
Which has been slammed by locals for, quote, looking like a penis.
Oh
no.
Yeah.
Hello, China.
Has become the unlikely star of a fake viral video purporting to show fireworks firing off of its roof.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a thing.
There's I'm going to say it's the Wangxi New Media Center. No, I'm pretty sure that's how you would pronounce that.
Yeah.
Thing.
G-U-A-N-G-X-I. I would say that to be Wangxi.
Wangxi, and I hope they did Wangxi, some feng shui.
Because XI is Xi. Anyway, the Wangxi Media Center, located in the autonomous region of Wangxi, as you might expect, in southeastern China, has taken nearly 2 years to build.
Oh. It's very,
And yet...
It's a big building.
What's that word?
Tantric.
Is it tantric?
When you don't come for 2 years?
Oh, that long?
Yes. That.
Thank you.
Yeah. Or married. They also call that married.
It's been 2 years.
Well, the locals are less than impressed.
Oh, no.
As you'll see in the photo.
Well, we've got two lovely pictures. Here's one picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Looks a little bit.
Now,
it's all about the girth, so we're going to say yes.
Oh, my God.
Now,
that is ridiculous.
Now, here's another.
This almost is, no other way to interpret that.
Angle one.
That's not even. There is no other
This is
way.
Angle one.
Angle one.
Now, look at angle two.
Camera
I think
one.
It's a little more descriptive.
Go camera two.
There you go. How about that one?
Oh my God.
Isn't that nice?
God. Yeah. It's got
now,
four balls.
One. Social media user was so outraged by the design, they released a heavily edited video showing a bright spray of fireworks being shot from the top.
And I wish that I had that goddamn, because that'd be great.
In the video footage, which was posted by a user 2 days ago, on social media in China, showed an aerial shot of the illuminated building at night, clearly showing its resemblance to male genitalia.
Clearly is the key.
Yeah. The clip shows the building lit up with a pulsating pink color, which turns blue as heart shapes explode into the night.
Oh, that's touching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Fancy.
The exploding.
Fancy. Clearly, spokespeople for the actual building confirmed that the video is fake and that fireworks are not allowed to be shot up from the top of the building.
Now everyone's going to want to.
Right.
Oh, they should.
They can't wait until they do.
Well, is it? What country is this in?
China.
Isn't the China the one that every year they have a big worship of the penis festival thing?
It's Japan.
They do.
Japan.
Right. Oh, it is My Japan. Bad. Yeah, we Japan. Covered that.
We've covered that.
Well,
yearly.
Multiple times.
Annually.
Almost annually.
My first thought when I saw both of those pictures is... Like,
is
there's
penis?
Not even, well, the not even real, there was no doubt in my mind. So here's, so
well, that's
here's,
good.
There's, yeah, right.
You recognize
I've seen,
one.
I've seen one
if
before.
If memory serves.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not go back
it's,
too far.
It's
but,
your face rings a bell.
So that's just a straight, thank you, Meow. Thank you, Meow Cal. You were reading my mind. That's exactly right.
Freud was right.
But that's it, right. But here's what I want to ask you guys, because it's actually, to me, it's the balls part.
Yeah.
Because in kind of all buildings are kind of phallic anyway.
Well,
and
sure.
That's
they
been
go
a big
up.
Criticism. They're always, you know, architecture, men, back to Ohio. Here we go with all of our things tonight. And they all just look like, you know, big jutting penises. But there's an argument that also be made, but that's just a building. that balls part on that thing. I'm sorry. That's taking all possible confusion out of that.
It was supposed to mimic.
What was it supposed to be?
Supposed to mimic the landscape. It's supposed to mimic nearby rice paddies. And you can see, I don't know if you picked up this picture, but.
Have you recently been fucked by a rice paddy?
I'm getting fucked by a rice. Oh my God. Actually, now I get it. But
with the hills and the
right.
Terraces.
Oh, no.
Where's the shaft?
No, she's saying that's the balls.
Oh, the balls are the rice.
The rice patties.
Well, and the the lines through. You're welcome.
That may be the greatest thing ever.
The judges are just gonna say penis.
Yeah.
Are you
right?
Where do you live? Penis apartments.
Penis apartments.
Yeah.
Somebody should tell Marcusville.
The best part was in high school when you were learning all the dirty words you didn't want to know. We were taught the difference between a blue veiner and a diamond cutter, and that always used to make me laugh.
Oh, no.
What kind of chub were you sporting?
Oh, no.
Girls talk about different things.
Yeah.
As it turns out.
Dear Lord.
Thank God. That's what I had to switch my luncheon table. I do not approve of this conversation. I'll be finding others to luncheon with.
Said 7th grade Al.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good day, sir. I said good day.
Said 12-year-old Al.
I'm going home to watch General Hospital.
Exactly. And drink and make a highball for the neighbor's mother. And watch her make lasagna.
I've got to be a bartender for the neighbor.
For the neighbor lady who's making lasagna.
During your vulgar conversation.
Yeah. There's
speaking of vulgar conversation, Doug, it's your turn.
Well, this is no follow-up to what Kat Carlson just did, but... Good Lord.
If I had a
hard act to follow there.
No follow-up to a penis.
But because Clayton is from Missouri, I saw this story and it's that I thought was interesting. Border Missourians getting Missouri addresses. So a quirk in the mail delivery system that forced some rural Missouri residents living along the Iowa and Arkansas borders to have mailing addresses in neighboring states has been fixed. This is according to Claire McCaskill. The
top and bottom of the state.
That's right.
There is no Iowa-Arkansas border.
Borders.
Got it.
The idiosyncrasy affected just a few people, but created problems and red tape when they voted, paid taxes, and even when they died. Mm-mm. McCaskill learned about the oddity last year and began inquiries to the U.S. Postal Service. In the letter to McCaskill on Monday, Postmaster General Megan Brennan wrote that the issue has been resolved and those who previously suffered from border confusion... can now use Missouri as their state designation. Brennan said the conversation has actually been in place for several months without any reported problems. McCaskill in a statement said she was glad we've made progress fixing this bizarre and inconvenient quirk once and for all. McCaskill, a Democrat, serves in the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, which has jurisdiction over the Postal Service. She's running for re-election against the Attorney General Josh Hawley. The exact number of affected residents was unknown. Also unclear is why residents were assigned Iowa and Arkansas postal addresses in the first place. Clark County, Missouri residents launched a petition drive in 2017 to get address changes because the county of 6,700 residents was adopting a new 9/11 system and dozens of residents with Iowa addresses were worried they'd be hard to find in an emergency.
Sure.
Before the switch, Clark County Judge Jenna Church had to assign the courthouse address to voters who had Iowa addresses because the system wouldn't allow people with Iowa mailing addresses to vote in Missouri. Filing taxes was often problematic. I thought that'd be the reason they'd want to get them. And the two-state confusion sometimes slowed the process of obtaining a death certificate or collecting life insurance after a relative's death.
That's almost got to be a problem on every state border in the whole country, I would
say. Right?
Because, and some people, I knew from back home, because we were so close to the Kansas border, like there were people that had fields, like crops, literally half in Kansas, half in Missouri.
Right, because borders are made up.
Exactly.
Problem. Yeah. Most borders are completely arbitrary.
This is a much smaller. This has real life ramifications. Mm-hmm. I love this story from I want to say it was Indiana years ago where the time zones are
the fast time and slow time.
Where was that? Indiana.
Indiana. Mm-hmm.
I love these people. I love small town people who are like fuck it. So when they finally were like what side what one are you on? The state of Indiana finally made a legislative rule. They said this is how the time is going to work, so you guys have to switch over to the Indiana time in this town. And they said fuck it, we're not.
We don't want to.
And so they just said, you can't make us say it's not 8 o'clock when we think it is. And so everywhere you would go in the town, you had to ask, are you on fast time or slow time?
Fast time or slow
so
time.
So you could go put gas in your car and it's 8 o'clock, and you could go have dinner and it's 9 o'clock. And it was just whatever. They couldn't make the people stop doing what they wanted to do. But that doesn't really affect your taxes or death certificates.
The only time I had any issue with that was years and years ago when What's-His-Name was in a show in Laughlin. And you've got Laughlin, Nevada, and Bullhead City, Arizona, which is just across the river.
Oh,
and they were an hour different.
Oh, right.
So we had to, when the show would end at the hotel, it was, let's just say, midnight.
Sure.
And then it was 1 o'clock across the deal. So that meant we had an hour. We had to go across the river, and we could drink at the bar on that side. And then we had to, we'd come back over and drink more on the Nevada side for another hour because of the time difference.
Well, you were thinking clearly.
Oh, yeah, we got that all figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's only one gay bar in Bullhead City. Mm-hmm. So we went to that and then drove right back to the... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gained an hour, lost an hour. An hour, lost an hour.
Yeah, something like that.
Turns out math is easy when you're trying to figure out how long you can drink.
Is there more?
Yeah, one more hour, right?
Really?
No.
I saw that you plugged the hole.
I did that.
What is that? Oh.
It appears to be a stopper
look
device.
At that.
My OCD, I can't stand to see champagne bottles left just open and losing the bubbles.
I also enjoy the fact that I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the little champagne, and it's a before and after with this bowl of grapes.
But to be clear, mm-hmm. not champagne.
Well, whatever it is. It's going to get
sparkling wine.
Sparkling wine.
But we're getting it out of my refrigerator. That's really the point.
I noticed the before and after, too.
Was this a celebratory bottle that we never celebrated?
That we stole from someone.
No, it's been in my fridge for a while.
Because sometimes we bring things to celebrate. And then we don't celebrate.
It's funny. You're reading my mind all night. When I opened the refrigerator, I was like, God, I hope that Breadwinner is not for a special occasion because I want to drink it.
No, because he said in a few weeks...
I hope whatever special occasion it is, it's now.
It's now. It's in about 1 hour.
And he said that on the 16th of October, when we have our celebration of our 300th show, he's going to bring better champagne.
When is that?
The 16th of October. 16th.
But is everyone going to be here?
Yeah, we'll all be here. But you're
can
welcome.
I just stop by?
Sure, what the hell. Yeah. Al, you have a story?
I won't
how
ruin
do you think
this show.
I got on the show?
Oh, is that Al?
Oh, Bridget updates us, and I don't know how close we are to real time, that the Lariat in Bullhead closed 4 years ago.
Oh,
well,
that's
I'm talking 15 years ago.
Okay, so things are changing names. Things are changing names. Be ready. Dunkin' Donuts, first on the list.
Yes.
I haven't read any of the stories, but I'm on the list.
I heard about this today.
Initially dropping donuts, starting in January... Dunkin' Donuts will drop the donuts from the ads, packages, and signage of new and remodeled stores, as well as its social media accounts. The makeover is part of Dunkin' brand's efforts to relabel itself as a beverage-led company.
Dumb.
Now, their coffee is terrific.
It's really good.
Oh, no, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That focuses on coffee, tea, speedy service.
They need to work on that.
And food, including, but not limited to donuts. And you know what? You really got to get there if you haven't yet. Let me just tell you.
What?
Tell me.
Single girl driving through the great New England area.
Like you do.
I've got my rental car. You know what I want? I want a Dunkin' Donuts because I get a good cup of coffee and I get a bagel.
And a vanilla cream donut. Oh.
Split down the middle, cream cheese appropriately, with a package that you can drive and eat.
Which is handy.
You know what I mean? It's delicious.
Although an extra 3.5 seconds in the drive-thru, you can create your own package. You're fine.
Yeah.
So,
but you get it at the fucking Starbucks Nazis. They hand you a bagel, a napkin,
it goes
a bag,
a little cup of cream cheese.
A little cup of cream cheese.
That's
you're
some
not going to scare
I didn't even know
with.
You could
put
get
my
a bagel
on
at,
the bagel.
I didn't know you could get a bagel at Starbucks.
You can, but it's not
tell
very
them,
good.
But they're delicious.
But they've got some different name for it, I'm sure.
So,
it's a bagel.
You get an everything bagel with cream cheese. They toast it. They put the cream cheese on it. They slap it together, and they
at
put
the
it
Dunkin'
in a triangular Dunkin' Donuts.
Not at the Starbucks.
I was talking about Starbucks.
No,
Starbucks has a bagel, but it's one of those goddamn, what are they called? Those goddamn salads that I hate.
Know.
I don't know.
What are those salads that I hate?
Waldorf.
No. The one they got to make your fucking salad.
Caesar. Oh.
The wedge salads.
Wedge. Yeah.
Take that back in the kitchen and turn that into a salad.
Somebody get a fucking knife
out. If I wanted all
the
ingredients for a salad, I'd go home and open my refrigerator. What the fuck is this bullshit?
Wait. Yeah. Do you have ingredients for a salad in your refrigerator?
I do. As long as spinach and mayonnaise is a salad.
Yes.
Caesar salad. Open a can of tuna, you're fine.
And he has vodka in the freezer. So
that's a salad.
Yeah.
It's a salad.
Sure.
It's raw spinach. So I will tell you.
It's not a very good salad.
The Dunkin' salad. So, okay, that's place
everything's
number one.
Everything's a salad if you try
hard enough. But wait, there's more.
I protest, but all right.
if you order now.
I dissent.
And I like the bagels better than I like that. Weight Watchers is changing its name.
Oh, my, to what?
Oh,
we don't
know.
Oh, we don't know.
Oh, good Lord.
The company announced Monday that the new Weight Watchers name reflects its focus on overall health and fitness, and not just shedding pounds. CEO Mindy Grossman, she's a gross man, I just want to say it, said in a statement that the company remains committed
to
always being the best weight management program on the planet, but it wants people to also focus on eating healthier, exercising, and having a more positive mindset.
More
Oprah Winfrey.
More comprehensive.
Is it called Get Off Your Ass?
Who is a member of the company's board and now owns it is. More than 8% stake, echoed these comments. She didn't say what it was called, though.
Happy
the
heifers.
Role WW can play. Oh, are they going to call it WW? Please, is that it? Is that
no,
what we went
they
for?
Shouldn't do that.
I should hope not.
No initials.
Yep, WW.
Oh, God.
Stupid.
It's like KFC.
All right.
I dissent.
Wonder Woman.
Right. I dissent,
one?
Too.
Okay, Wah-wah. We got one yes, one no, right? We're at one yes.
No. I'm, good a two, with I'm a two no.
I'm a no.
I'm two dissenting opinions here.
Papa John's may be changing its logo.
Thank to closed?
To non-existent.
The company filed a trademark with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office in late August, but a company representative said there are no immediate plans to start using their logo. They're getting rid of the apostrophe so that Papa John doesn't own it. It's just John's. Like, he's a fucking
So now he's picking up hookers?
Now he's a right. Now he's a pro. Now
he's just Papa John.
Well, the good news is Kirsten Sinema is all about it now.
No.
What?
Have you not heard that ad?
All right. Walmart.
No.
I'm going to shit on your story for a minute. There's a political ad that's on every
is
time
it
I turn.
Is a McSally ad?
It's a McSally ad. Every time I turn on the radio about Kirsten Sinema's arguing that the solution to child prostitution is not more punishment for the Johns, which I think is probably true.
It is.
But Martha McSally, like,
that is
her
true.
Campaign has turned that right around and been like, nope, she's in favor of child prostitution. So she's all about the Johns. Carry on.
Oh, I know.
That was
evil.
My tangent.
I thought
we'll
this
talk
was a bigger
story.
So the company known as Walmart several years ago changed its name and dropped the hyphen. We all didn't notice, but now it's getting recognition with all these name changes that now it's Walmart because they don't want you to have to type in the hyphen. Mm-hmm. Type in the hyphen.
Because it's hard to find.
Type
on your
hyphen.
iPhone, it's hard to find.
Yes, it does. It makes it harder to find it. That's exactly
it's
what they
way down there. You got to hit the shift key
AT&T
and then you got to hit the next key.
Time Crazy. Warner have a new name. Is there any end to this madness? No.
By the end of this, Clayton's going to name this show something else.
Champagne makes this show better.
It certainly
does. The number of dissenting
does.
Opinions that I have to write now.
Yeah, we haven't agreed within.
Lengthy.
That's not
Carry
as
on.
Good as champagne.
When this ends, I want to ask you a question.
So it will be called. So, so AT&T. We have AT&T, Time Warner. It's now going to be called. Are you ready for it? Mm. Warner Media. Not bad.
That's not bad.
It sounds very evil empire to
me. But when I say who's my
evil
cell
corporate,
service with
corporate
Warner
evil,
Media?
Evil empire.
Well, you
I
should say
I
Verizon.
Have lost track of all the things under that umbrella. Oh, do you still have AT&T?
Yes.
Oh.
I've had it for 10 years.
See?
Warner
I have,
Media.
What are you owing about? I have absolutely no problems with my service.
And you don't leave the house. I'm just fucking with you. Okay,
it's
so
funny,
funny story.
It's funny,
so I'm at a table enjoying all the things that are available in California with a bunch of straight
it's
guys.
It's a big table.
It's a big table. We're all
a small table with a glass of wine and a joint.
We're
let's
making
be real.
Jokes because everybody
That's
at the
exactly
table,
what it
except
was.
For me, was from some part of Ohio. So they were talking about stuff, and of course, you know, finger on the pulse of the opioid epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring
laser
up,
focus.
Heroin comes up.
Sure.
So,
because why wouldn't it?
Does it come out
sure.
onto the table?
It does. No,
okay.
It did not.
Okay.
It did not. Let's
was
wait.
It, was it prefaced
Hold
with?
In.
Was it prefaced with? Where can I find?
Was,
no. Was
not
there
at all,
actual
not at all.
Heroin?
It was actually about sports teams and how they suck in Ohio now that LeBron has specifically
oh,
left.
Right. Right.
So they
how
were
do we
saying,
get to heroin from LeBron?
Right. Because all they have left in Ohio is
Need more
hope.
String.
And I threw in, because I was a little buzzed, I'm like, well, you still got heroin, too, because it's, you know, there's a lot of white people.
Very similar to now.
And so they're like, Hope and heroin. And I was like, and the good thing about hope and heroin is the heroin was there before and after the hope. So we were having this whole riff on
things
hope
were flowing,
and heroin.
Ideas were happening.
And then the guy across me goes, and hose. And I was like,
oh,
three
hose.
H's. So the elderly white man in me all of a sudden had to pause and be like, hose.
Okay. H-O-E-S.
And I'm like...
I'm assuming.
Oh.
Like the female counterpart to pimp?
I gotcha. Yeah. And they're all looking at me like, are you serious? I'm like, oh yeah. Because my first question was, why do you all have hoses? And then, what do you do with them when you got them?
Drop them off?
I was so white, I did not understand hose used in a sentence.
Yeah.
with white a bunch of
and
strings.
Gay. I'm a little disappointed.
And gay
right
was
now,
part of that.
But
I think.
It was, I'm not gonna lie.
Are you all gardeners?
It was truly one of the funniest don't moments in my life. This is all of them watched the gears turn and could actually smell wood burning
in your head. Yes.
Yeah. So I was like, hose, hosiery. Hose. How are we using hose?
Is it and the royal hose?
Not the panty variety.
I made a real yeah. close friend by the end of that conversation. As I, now I'm doing a commercial
yeah,
for this.
There you go.
But did you meet any hoes?
Did, yes.
No.
Were there any hoes in attendance at the wedding?
Strangely, no.
Interesting.
Yeah,
but with
is.
A destination wedding.
Right. You, usually a bridesmaid
you,
or two.
No, you thin but with the, a dest, you thin out
thin
hoes.
The herd. Yeah, you know, we notice you do. It is people of advanced ages. That's what I'll call it.
French for ages, yes.
old people.
The epochs that were old not represented. The Ming dynasty that was not there.
Dynasty.
Dynasty.
So they played a song for the older folks in the crowd. And you could tell this was a wedding DJ. So he put
he
on
knew.
A little
was
like
it the electric
he had to,
slide.
He had to do
no,
the generational.
We're gonna, like, twist again next summer. Like, no, yeah. no, no. Electric
oh.
slide was too
oh,
young.
Wow.
Like, we had to go to a crowd that's usually well represented at a wedding to get them on the dance floor and get them mingling
right.
with the younger people.
My parents.
Well, because there was only the parents of the bride and groom, whose ages we will not go into, it kind of fell on deaf ears, and it was like a real, it landed like a thud on the table, and I was like, well,
so
I was at a wedding a couple months ago where this would have like
this
gotten
killed,
the room
right.
kind of going, and I'm like, I looked at Harrison, I'm like, you know that age group that I said was missing? We might be that
you're
age
the age group,
group
right.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're not so old enough to have ever danced the twist in the its original form.
When you were
perhaps
saying
again,
the thinning
originally.
Of the herd,
twist again.
I love that because my friend Susan got married when she married her husband Daniel, and they had a destination wedding, which I did not go to. It was because it was a destination wedding, and I couldn't afford
I to.
And it was in Mexico.
Right. And I said, "Who wants to pay $3,000 for somebody else's wedding?"
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
No, exactly. And so I asked her. I said, "You know, it's supposed to be romantic, right?" Though I said, "So why did you do that?" I said, "Is there something like really special about, you know, Mexico and all?" I thought it was going to be this great origin story, and she goes, "No, we just didn't want anyone to come." And she said, I said, no one is just like, well, we knew we'd get a handful.
That's
just
enough.
And
that's
we enough. Thinned it out. And she, that was their whole thing. She's like, we just didn't want to deal with all that bullshit. And so she's like, the best thing you can do is have a destination wedding because only the core is going to come to something like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant.
And you
can also go somewhere and just get married and not tell anybody.
Well, that too.
But you do.
Well,
but
maybe you want your mom there.
But
and then
you,
if you invite your mom, you got to invite your aunt.
Kat Carlson for the win again. That's exactly what
that's
they wanted. Their
what,
little core.
That's what's missing is all of your mom's coworkers. Mm-hmm. If it's not down the street,
right.
they don't
right.
have to come.
Right.
And then you got to invite your third cousin, Larry, because
right.
if you invite Jerry, then you have to
invite
Larry.
And Larry's brother Larry and Daryl
and
everybody
then,
else.
And then Mary's going to hear about it, so you might as well just invite her.
Then you have 300 people coming to this fucking wedding.
So the next day, I Barbara Walters the bride from the verb to Barbara Walters, and I said to her,
which I love,
meaning to Walter someone in a Barbara way.
I say that all the time.
Thank you.
I just did a Barbara Walters on
Barbara Walters. So I said, because there were 69 to 70 people. I don't know. Like, I don't know who showed up.
Well, that one person variable there.
I'm just saying. I think
it's a very thin margin.
69 to 70. But if I say 69, it sounds like I made up the number to be dirty. But I think there were 69 people in attendance when they did the count.
Okay.
Did you guys count off like one at a time?
And we have a reason to ask. There's a reason to ask this question. I said, did you feel like you had a chance to talk to everybody? Because it was a lengthy wedding too. Like, the reception really did go on quite a while. It went from 5 to like 10 p.m. It was a 5-hour reception.
That's long.
In 5 hours, did you feel you had enough time to speak with 69 people? And she was like, oh, my God, no. She's like, I know I said hi to everyone
a lot of people,
in the
right.
room.
No.
She's like, but no, there was no visiting with anybody. So when someone says they're having a wedding with 200 people, it's physically impossible.
And brides are notorious for not doing that, for not talking.
No, you can't, because you physically can't.
You got too much to do.
Yeah,
you get corralled by two aunts, and you got to do all the dances and the fucking cake.
You have to dance with your father,
and I think they're really nervous. Because I had friends, good friends that I went to, and I was warned about this and about going to weddings. They said, are you good friends with the bride? I said, yeah. They said, they're going to be like a Stepford wife on their on their wedding day. And I was like, what are you talking about? I thought this was bullshit.
Until
I went to my college roommate, Tina, one of my best friends in the world. Who, believe me, I know her all the dead bodies, everything, right?
Yeah, you're not going to talk to her.
And that's not just and exclusive she, to weddings. It's every large celebration.
Yeah,
like,
but it was eerie.
I've been to giant birthday parties, like even for myself. Like I've had birthday parties that were entirely too big, and I'm like, you were there? That's thank
right.
You.
That's exactly. And you know, it was so weird. She was on like Stepford Wife automatic pilot, and I saw her, and she was like, "Hello, Doug," and I'm like. I used to pick you up when you vomited at 6 East on Mill Avenue. Like, I'm Doug. Right? And she was like, that was so nice for you to come. And then I was taking it personally. And that's when I was like, she's a bride. Mm-mm. Then I went to more weddings. And so every fucking bride I've ever seen is in that weird, like.
Yeah, you have to know people at the wedding. Thing. Because if you think your good time is going to come from the people that are getting married, you have made a bad calculation.
And I thought that the first wedding I went to, that's what I thought was going
to
happen.
I feel that I have a better answer for all this is just don't fucking go to people's weddings.
Well, I'm on board with that.
That's why
You know what? As now this is like my 7th wedding in like 3 years.
Are you done?
No, they're fun. Oh. They really are. They can be fun.
Maybe they're just fun for older people.
I have not been to a bad one yet. That could be it.
The DJ's going to play music that you like. You should start going.
But, three jokes I've made that you are right on with.
I'm right here with you, Clayton.
But the important thing is that you know other people there. And one of the nice things when Justin and Kirk got married is they invited Matt as my and guest, but didn't make it awkward. Like, I could still bring a guest, but just in case I was going to show up single, they invited Matt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And offered him the chance to bring an and guest. But neither one of
us. So you had your own little party.
Yeah, so they kind of invited a date for me.
That's actually very nice.
And it was a passive aggressive nightmare that ended up being a lot of fun because of P-Town and its proximity to Boston, we knew all the same people without knowing we knew all the same people. Like as everyone sat down at the hot gay table as we were.
That's the table to be at. If you have to go to a wedding, go to the gay table. Yeah,
seriously,
I'm on board with that.
Except
plan.
For Matt and I. I mean, these were supermodels, like, and their uncles. Like, this was
uncles. Are we going to the uncles?
This was just ridiculous, but it was so much fun. But at first I was like, I feel like I got pity fucked with you, and he was like, well, same to you.
Yeah. Nice to see you.
Right. Too. And that's like that old thing when like your straight friends, because this happened a couple of weddings I've gone to. I was actually very vent about all the wedding stuff.
Yeah.
About where I was sat at the wedding, and I read this in Bruce Bauer's great book from the 90s, A Place at the Table, about being gay, that this would happen to you, and it actually happened to me. I got
it's the funny thing about stereotypes.
Did you feel validated?
I felt validated by the book, but disappointed what happened to me at the wedding. Another college roommate, there was that I was had lived with that. Then there was other female college roommates too. They were all at like a front table, and I got the bad table, and I was at the table with the strays.
You were at table 19.
Yeah, I was at table 19, and
with the
gay guy. This one girl, her friend who was gay, who he and I, it's not that we ever disliked each other. That's not the case. We had just nothing. We knew of each other.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. She had two gay male friends, but we didn't.
Know each other, honey. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have anything in common.
No track lighting.
He was just we were very different people. But always friendly when we saw each other. But never had more than two words to say to each other. And now we had to sit at this table. And I could tell he was irritated too. We both thought we should be at like the primo table. Someone years later,
gay privilege,
an older woman told me, don't, because I was really resentful about that. And she said, your friend probably didn't even make the table thing. It was someone else.
Oh, sure.
Probably got
mother-in-law did that.
The mother, the fucking
and went,
mother.
I don't
thank
fucking
you.
Know who this
no,
is.
That's exactly.
And that's how you end up
you.
With that table at Misfits because
thank
somebody
you,
who doesn't
Kat
know you but
Carlson.
Knows that you
that's exactly
from.
What happened.
And when we sat down, the way that this worked at the beautiful Martin Johnson House was when we got to our table and it was all of us that used to work at Good Sam. We're back in the corner. We've all seen that Sex in the City episode, so we're all like. Are we that table?
Mm-hmm.
I like being that table.
But then the
I'm
funny thing was...
Now
then,
I would like it.
Then they sat everyone, and the bride and groom were like two tables. Like, we were looking... Like, we had the best view of the bride and groom, and I'm like, oh, no, we got... Not only do we have the sunset view from right where we're sitting, but we have the bride and groom. Like, we were in, like, prime seats. But at first, it was like, oh, this is not good.
For those of you,
I like table 19.
This is going to determine the gifts, but not if you can't see everything.
For anybody still listening to the show,
whoever you are,
we got here because Al started a Dunkin' Donut story,
and I still have a question about that.
Okay, well, let's go back to that, and you ask your question.
All right. So when this whole whatever this is started,
yelling at us,
so
champagne.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what.
Here's what I wanted to know. Because I saw that Dunkin' thing too, and I'm not, I don't, I have hardly ever gone there.
I dissent.
Because they don't really care. They don't exist in Mississippi.
But here's the thing.
16th Street and Bethany Home.
That I go to.
But not.
When you were telling the story about this name change, you were having a reaction to
dissent.
It. But why? You weren't able to say why. Why? I don't. Because that's not a criticism. I'm just wondering.
They're focusing on the things you dunk
because
in.
Because I love donuts.
Oh.
They're not taking donuts away, though.
But they're not going to focus on them. They're not going to be as good.
They now have Dunkin' Donut fries. Did you see that? I've never seen that. Yeah, I saw that.
So is this a whole thing to be Starbucks now? Starbucks is beverage focused. So that's how I read that.
It's because Dunkin' Donuts coffee is so good.
Right.
But they want you to know.
But don't they want some market share of Starbucks?
Well, of course they do.
Who doesn't?
But the point is they want you to know that, yes, we serve donuts, but our coffee's way better than those.
That's what I mean. When you said beverage-focused company, I thought of Starbucks. Like, to me, I think of beverages. I think they want to get away from the donuts loves to compete with Starbucks.
It's very regional. When you're out here, everything is Circle K. When you're in Western New York, everything is Tim Hortons. When you get to Boston, there's just Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. Like, Starbucks are like... Mm. Is there a Starbucks? Because there's 5 Dunkin' Donuts around me.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So it's all very regional. And that's why, like, I don't
There's 14 Starbucks within a square mile of Central Phoenix.
Right, so if you go to Boston,
there's actually 14
Dunkin' Donuts that
not
you
Starbucks.
Can see from where you're standing. Mm-hmm. And they want the rest of the country to know. Because, seriously, as soon as I get, when I land in Boston and get my rental car, the first thing I want, no matter what direction I'm going, I want my Dunkin' Donuts because I want my everything bagel with cream cheese served appropriately and something I can drive and eat and my cup of coffee that's absolutely fucking delicious.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, and everybody's like, really? You went to Dunkin' Donuts? I'm like, do you know how good this shit is?
Dunkin' Donuts people know.
Do you go to the Dunkin' that's at 16th and Bethany?
No, because they're not on our way here.
Well, no, but I mean, would you?
Because there's 17 Starbucks on my way.
Listen to the whole question.
No, that's the thing. It's the convenience.
I get that.
There's a follow-up. Wait.
My question is the service at a local Dunkin' Donuts the same as you would get in Boston? Like, are they going to serve you? Well, then I think you should try them out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not that I won't try them out. It's like it's that when you're in Boston, there's a Dunkin' Donuts in every corner.
Like, there's a Starbucks
in every corner. So I'm not going to drive past 17 Starbucks to get over there. I can get a bagel somewhere else. But when you're back east and you have your rental car, you're like, all the dreams come true. And I'm settled for, like, I go till 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a bagel and a cup of coffee. I am good. I do not need more food.
Well, and back east is where my love of Dunkin' Donuts comes from, too.
Well, you can until 5 o'clock when you start drinking because it's happy hour. And you by 7:30, you're like, oh, I should have eaten something today.
But let me tell you, if what they brought
me... He's laying on a floor in the floor.
He's not going to stop talking about the bagel.
In a pool of his own sick.
But if what they brought me at 5 p.m. was a bagel with cream cheese, again, I'm good for 4 more hours.
4 more hours, yeah. Got it.
Bread. I love bread.
Clayton, proceed. I have something to say about it, but I'm not going to. Just,
well, we can come back to it later.
Yeah, we'll come back later.
Right. I understand. Now we're gonna hark back to remember this story that Kat Carlson was talking about earlier.
It seems so long ago.
Yes.
Now pay attention to the screen because I'm gonna play this and see what happens.
And the shooting stars flew through my trembling hands.
Look at that.
There's
the blue vein being activated.
Is just
girls
sick
talk
and
about
wrong.
Very different things in middle school.
So that's the video she was talking about earlier with the building in
fake.
How
guys,
is that not
fake.
Deliberate?
That didn't happen.
When I hit my meatloaf reference and the shooting stars fell through my trembling hands, the song about masturbation.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
That's
what that line is about.
Turn around, bright eyes. All right, continuing on.
Soldiering on.
We may have lost the momentum there.
Let the affiliates down the line know we're going to be running late tonight.
What? Surprise.
I got shit to say.
In the technological world that we live
clean
in,
call.
A lot of people have doorbells that unlock doors. They have cameras. They have various things on their houses.
I need to learn all the things.
Well, you do.
One man found out that he can easily get locked out of his house. Batman is considered one of the world's greatest crime fighters, but in this unfortunate situation, the Dark Knight was mistaken for an intruder.
Oh.
In a tweet by posted by a user named at BJMAY, BJ May.
yeah, if you
that's,
may.
That's what I got. BJ, if you may.
A Nest.
Preceded by BJ April.
A Nest doorbell appeared to mistakenly identify a Batman graphic on his t-shirt as an intruder and then locked the man out of his house. He says, quote, "My Nest doorbell automatically locks the front door when it sees a face it doesn't recognize." The tweet read, "Today it recognized me, so I went in, went into the app and investigated, and a photo of a screenshot from the app shows the face of Batman on the t-shirt I was wearing and identified it as an intruder and would not unlock the door."
Oh my God.
The hilarious, albeit unfortunate, mishap for the homeowner was thoroughly enjoyed by the internet since its posting and has been tweeted as of news time over 27,000, or had more than 27,000 likes.
Ben Affleck shows up at my door.
As a high
let him door. In. Right.
As high tech as Bruce Wayne has always been, it looks like he may want to think twice about installing a Nest doorbell. So here's the screenshot of the poor guy. He goes to his own front door, and it focuses on the Batman on his shirt, and decided, nope, you cannot come in.
See, I don't want that. Every time I think I want that kind of smart technology, then I go, nope, I sure don't.
I thought that was just a funny thing.
It freaks me out.
Yeah.
We're living in the Matrix.
Yeah. By the way, a technology thing that was brought up at Stacy's the other day, he comes to me and he goes, so why don't, can we just put digital... door locks on all the doors on the outside. I'm absolutely not. I said, because the first time one fails, you're going to lose
fire,
your mind.
Fire department. Right?
Just simply use a regular lock.
Just a key lock. Is
that's all you need.
Keys are not that expensive to make.
Well, no, but he was like, for some reason, he thought that was better security. I'm like, No. It will not
What
be.
If someone like keys. Hacks it? Or
Right, yeah, exactly. Right. Like, no, a key, you lock, you right. check, you done, we leave.
It's got to be in your
them,
hand.
You get new keys. It's not that big a deal.
Your next story, Kat Carlson.
Oh, something that is kind of a big deal. I don't know if you saw this week, but the Halloween's coming.
Mm, oh, I've heard.
It is.
October?
Yeah. Love it.
Every year?
That's how calendars work.
God. Every 12 months.
And I'm not exactly a fan of the Halloween. I'm a little bitter and jaded by the Halloween.
I'm not at all
but
a fan.
I was really looking forward to wearing my sexy Handmaid's Tale costume.
Of course.
Because
the sexy version.
There's always a slutty version of whatever your costume is.
Slutty version
slutty
of whatever
Handmaid's.
It is. Slutty Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Of course.
Slutty whatever.
Of course.
What? Rape culture? I thought we solved that in hour one.
It came back.
I thought we won feminism.
And that's how pervasive it is, Kat. It comes
you
back.
You never win feminism near Halloween.
That's for damn
right.
sure.
Right down the shitter.
I think we're about to find that out, Al.
We won this battle, though, because they have pulled Sexy Handmaid's Tale.
They pulled out.
They pulled out.
You're welcome.
So many. The costume, a skimpy and suggestive version of the formal, biblically inspired attire the handmaids wear.
May I show it on the screen?
While being effectively raped in the book.
Here is
then on the show. Was
here's the lovely costume in question.
But this
I really
is
was
really,
about to order one.
This
too,
is really a weird story because actually the whole thing about the Handmaids
Al's
was
missing
like
the whole story.
Oppressing women and raping them, and so
I was to make when the, I missed that.
that appears to be the misstep. Yeah, a little on the tone
like,
deaf side.
Yeah, total like slutty nurse.
That's somebody that went Maybe. That has never seen The Handmaid's Tale
exactly.
or has never read the book and has never thrown
exactly.
the fucking book across the room
because
you were mad at this bitch.
In related and breaking news, mm-hmm. they have also pulled Heathcliff Huxtable mm-hmm. Halloween costumes off the market too.
Smart. Very smart. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Huxtable.
Very funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's not the first time costume makers have gone wrong. Like, in this case, somebody went, oh, Handmaid's Tale, everybody loves that. Oh, the red capes. Yeah,
right.
we should do that.
I love
Let's make
that
it slutty.
Yeah, exactly.
We've never seen it before.
Without
we
even,
don't know what the fuck it is.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's
exactly.
This is how this went down.
Her analysis is on point.
Every once in a while, you just need to take a baseball bat to someone's head.
And bash it the fuck in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow. We went very violent on this
Promoted
episode.
Some violence tonight. Yeah.
Now,
sorry.
You might remember, avid Halloween costume fans might remember other costumes that may have been pulled from shelves.
Oh, do tell.
Please tell us.
Including, but not limited to, the Moana.
I'm already laughing. I don't even know what it is.
I just love the way you're leading up to it. Including, but not limited
not
to.
Not
limited
to. Limited
so there's
to.
A
this
lot
is,
of them.
This is not a comprehensive list. but just 2 years ago, in 2016, Disney had to pull their Moana-inspired costume of Maui from the shelves.
I do remember that.
Because, as you remember, the character Maui was voiced by Dwayne The Rock. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And the costume consisted of a brown bodysuit with tribal tattoos. It was considered racist because he was brown. In 2014...
And didn't he also just wear... He wore no shirt in the movie, right? In the
no
character?
Shirt. Yeah.
If Dwayne Johnson was to show up and trick-or-treat at my door with that outfit...
Candy available.
Candy available.
Currently available.
That year I will have candy.
We will alert his publicist.
Please do.
Then in 2014, you might remember the Slender Man urban legend. Well, somebody thought it would be a good idea to make a Slender Man costume.
I didn't know that part, though.
Didn't go over so well. Nope, killed it pretty quick.
Well...
Another Halloween retailer, HalloweenCostumes.com, asked for it by name, pulled an Anne Frank costume.
Oh.
Did it come with plunger?
My God.
Can I tell you my two favorite Anne Frank jokes?
You've done it before on this show, but...
The first one...
Please don't.
I'm going to let you.
The first one is attributed to so many different actresses that it's hard to pin down where it came from. But we'll blame it on Pia Zadora.
Sounds good.
That is not who I thought he was going to bring up.
It's okay.
The actress's performance on the stage version of The Diary of Anne Frank was described as so bad that people in the audience yelled out, "They're in the attic!" to get the play to end sooner.
Okay, that's a good joke. I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be horrible.
But it's been retold 170 different times with all different actresses playing the role.
Okay,
of
that's
Anne Frank.
Very funny.
So, number two. is the fact that they have this ongoing joke on Arrested Development about somebody is hiding in the walls and in the attic of the model home.
Because there's always somebody.
There's always somebody. It's usually the father. But as...
Jeffrey Tambor, rapist, as it turns out.
Oh, that's right.
Coming right back to hour one.
As Michael was trying to figure out who was in the attic, and his son is acting so strange, he says to his sister, "I think George Michael is hiding Anne in the attic." And she's like, "From who, the Nazis?" But
I missed that one entirely.
He does the entire spin around to try to figure out who is hiding in the attic, and he comes up with the girlfriend that he never notices.
Her?
Right.
Anybody that was really listening to this realized that I have no idea what we're talking about. Because when you said Anne Frank, I heard Helen Keller.
Oh,
which
no.
Which is why I made the plunger reference.
Well, we were talking about Helen Keller last week.
So...
Right.
So
but when you made that, I didn't know what you were saying.
But when you said...
We just went right past it.
But I got there. When you said they're in the attic, I realized we weren't talking about the deaf blind.
And I love that you just admitted that out loud.
I love that we all heard a Helen Keller... No.
Yeah, no.
An Anne Frank plunger joke and just all decided...
And just went with it.
It's okay.
You know,
it's all right.
I'll bring it up next week.
Can I now, since you're...
A week?
Since you were being honest, can I be honest?
Sure.
I just let it go because I thought, this is what I thought.
It's Clayton's show.
But I also thought, this is what I actually thought. I thought, is there an Anne Frank plunger joke that I don't know about?
Yeah.
And Al's going to say it now. So I didn't say anything.
And then as soon as he was like, they're in the attic, I'm like, Anne Frank.
Not Helen
totally
Keller.
Not
but
Helen
we were
Keller.
Talking about Helen Keller last week.
Yes, I remembered that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's why as soon as I... That just wasn't funny to everybody else.
Okay.
And then I realized it wasn't because we were talking about the same person.
Yeah.
This show should be called Tangents.
All right. Yes, it should.
Where we go, how we'll get back.
We don't know, but it happens every week.
The last comment in the chat room is still, okay, that's straight up penis.
If you go out...
Do you still have more to that story?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I don't.
There were other bad choices for costumes.
There probably were, but I think we're done.
I sure don't.
All right.
Pretty sure we shit all over that.
Doug, where are you going?
My next one's very short, and there's actually two. They're super short, so should I just do both of them?
One at a time.
Okay.
No, dude, come on. Run
them again. The rules are one at a time.
All right.
Really? Now we have rules? Now we have rules.
Now there's rules.
Jesus
Christ. Okay. So this is super short. I just thought it was funny.
17 stories to tell you.
Authorities say bananas donated to a Texas prison turned out to have nearly $18 million worth of cocaine.
I thought they just had
that shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
I thought it was just potassium. Really?
The Texas Department of Criminal Justice says in a Facebook post that the drugs were found in two pallets of bananas that were donated because they were already ripe. The donation arrived Friday. The department says sergeants who picked up the boxes found a bundle of a white powdery substance under the bananas. U.S. custom officials were called to the scene, and authorities say 540 packages of cocaine were found in 45 boxes of bananas. The department says federal officials and the U.S. Customs and Border Protection are investigating.
Well, yeah, who donated that shit?
Isn't that funny? When I first saw the story, I thought, oh, this is like smuggling cocaine into prisons. No, it's just somebody lost $18 million worth of cocaine hidden in bananas.
That part sucks.
They didn't track the bananas appropriately.
They did not.
Yeah. So you always ship with a union carrier.
Smart.
That's what you do. Look for the union label.
As you do.
What's your second story, Doug?
Second one. We're going to wrap this up. This is for Al. State investigating.
You're welcome.
A restaurant that calmed their lobsters with pot.
Uh-huh.
With marijuana. State health inspectors are investigating a Maine lobster restaurant that tried to mellow out the lobsters with marijuana. The Portland Press Herald reports Charlotte's legendary lobster pound in Southwest Harbor remains open, but has stopped allowing customers to request meat from lobsters sedated with marijuana. Owner Charlotte Gill is a state-licensed medical marijuana caregiver. Gill said Friday that she had started offering... in quotes, smoked lobster. Smoked lobster meat recently and hopes to resume sales by mid-October. Maine Department of Health and Human Services spokesman Emily Spencer wouldn't say whether the state had asked Gill to halt such sales. It's unknown whether pot smoke actually calms lobsters or has any effect on their meat.
There's going to be effect on the meat.
I would like to recommend that pigs start eating pot so I can find out about the bacon.
Bacon and weed.
Oh.
Bacon and weed.
I might be back on board.
You're going to eat more.
Both bacon and weed.
No, I understand.
Sure.
It's going to be an endless loop.
Sure.
What's that snake that eats its own tail?
We've had a couple certain we had seals that eat your face.
Well, I
no, your and baby, your kids, your baby,
and then the shark eats
or
the seal.
Dingo got your baby.
A dingo ate my baby.
Yes, so many.
That's my Meryl Streep Australian accent.
Back to you in studio.
You want to do that again?
What was it?
Do you want to do that again? Do it again.
Go ahead. Say
a dingo ate my baby.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Yeah,
I love you. I love you, Clayton.
The dingo ate your baby.
We haven't used that in a long time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So a Jet Airways flight in India traveling from Mumbai to Jaipur had to return to Mumbai for an emergency landing after just 45 minutes in the air. The pilots reportedly forgot, maybe they were eating the lobster, to flick the switch that stabilizes cabin pressure. And as a result, multiple passengers bled from their ears and their nose.
Oh, my God.
Because they went up to high altitude.
Did you say bled from or bled to death?
No, just bled. They
bled from. Okay.
They allegedly survived.
Allegedly.
The flight was turned back to Mumbai after takeoff as during the climb, crew forgot to select switch to maintain cabin pressure. This resulted in the oxygen mass dropping. 30 out of 166 passengers experienced nose and ear bleeding. Some also complained of headache. I am sorry. When blood starts coming out your ears, we got a problem.
Yeah, the headache's the least of your problems.
And oddly, I would have assumed that that would have been an automatic thing. When he reached a certain altitude, it would have done an automatic thing.
Fingers crossed that we're not waiting for somebody to flip the switch to like pressurize this motherfucker.
Exactly.
And then there's the video that I didn't feel like sending the video, but there's the video of the... is it an Air France jet, I think, that's trying to land, and the winds cut it off, and they abort, and they are like 5 feet from the ground when they abort and take back off.
Ugh.
But if you get a chance,
watch. Some of those videos are crazy.
Yeah. I think it happened today.
Oh, okay.
And it is bananas. Not cocaine laced.
Bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
I have to thank Love It for bringing back bananas into the vernacular. And
I love how he says it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bananas.
Bananas.
Well, here's one that it's timely. You know, October, like you said, Halloween is coming. Six Flags Amusement Park in Eureka, Missouri, which is
a
suburb of St. Louis, so it's Six Flags over St. Louis, is holding a morbid contest for the brave and not the claustrophobic. The theme park has announced a competition inviting guests to stay in a tight coffin for nearly 30 hours straight. The Fright Fest 30-hour coffin challenge will take place on Saturday, October 13th, and reward those who make it through the night with more than just bragging rights. The prizes include two 2019 gold season passes, a Fright Fest prize package, which includes two VIP haunted house passes, and a ticket for two to the Ride the Freak Train for Freak Unleashed, whatever the fuck that is. The winner will also be entered into a drawing for $300. I'm like, $300?
$300?
More than that. Six Flags.
Like five hand jobs.
Six Flags will provide six deluxe 2-foot by 7-foot slightly used coffins.
Six, all right.
I don't know what slightly used means, but there you go.
It's not always, it's not good. As,
yeah, it's one of those phrases like you, five it's hand just jobs. Not good. You don't want to hear out
I'm
loud.
I'm going to take notes on all the nopes in this story.
Gently used so again, coffin.
They're going to provide gently six used. Deluxe nope. 2-by-7 slightly used coffins, as well as meals, snacks, and drinks in bed, as well as a 6-minute bathroom break every hour.
Beautifully refurbished.
Well, then
refurbished.
It doesn't count. Wait a
yeah,
minute.
Yeah, if you got out to go
Hold
pee.
Hold the fuck
now,
on.
The coffin, the coffins will also be available to take home if the winner coffin. Desires. The competitors are allowed to bring a friend during the operating hours, but once the park closes, coffin dwellers must go it alone. However, Six Flags assures its guests won't be completely alone. Quote, well, not exactly alone. Some of our Fright Fest freaks will be lurking about in the darkness of the park.
That's okay. Amazing.
First of all, it's not a real challenge if you can get the fuck out.
If you can get out of it.
It's not
right.
Okay. The bathroom break.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's not okay.
Yeah. No, right.
I agree
if
with that.
If you're really going to do 30 some hours in the coffin, you're
do
just going to have to shit yourself. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right. You're going to have to lock, stock, and barrel.
Too bad.
You need commitment.
Right. Don't eat right. or drink for a couple days prior yeah. and then get in there.
Yep.
Also, number two, I dissent. Nope.
You're a lot of dissenting.
She's dissenting. The,
very
a lot
dissenting.
Tonight.
You can do whatever you need very, to do because that's you.
She can write that. She's going to write the
Thank
dissent.
You. Thanks for your permission.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate
I'm
that.
I'm here to help.
You really are. You know what? You're very supportive.
I do what I can.
Helping.
Thanks for that.
Helping
professional. Like
the helper. Okay. I'm doing two more things right quick here before we get into this because.
Okay.
What's the name? Final story. Being in touch with nature is one thing, but gardening au natural is quite another for some neighbors in Florida.
Danger.
Who has a Florida man who is a neighbor who's been doing his yard work in the nude. The miffed residents tell news outlets that they've called the Martin County Sheriff's Office, but the man continues to do his yard work naked. Sheriff William Snyder tells WFTV he believes the man's refusal to wear clothes has breached two statutes, lewd and lascivious behavior and breach of peace.
Oh,
He says authorities will begin taking statements from neighbors. Neighbor Melissa Nye tells WPBF TV that the man was bent over winding up a garden hose on Sunday evening when she put the trash out. Neighbor Amy Canterbury says
danger of homonyms.
Amy Canterbury says that she's just taught her six kids to look the other way if the neighbor is gardening.
If you've got six kids, you've got some explaining to do anyway. Those fuckers know where everything came from.
Where does the hose?
Let them look.
You see one brown winking starfish. That is not the worst thing you saw today.
Tell me your six Lord. Kids have not seen a grown man's asshole before. Yeah. I'm going to tell you you're lying.
My brown eyes winking at you, girl.
Oh my God.
Mom,
Al.
Where does the hose go?
Please.
There was a drag queen in Tucson that used to say that all the time.
I know, and Where's it drives me fucking crazy.
What?
My brown eyes winking at you, girl. It's so filthy.
That's Aja Simone.
Yeah.
That sounds like Aja.
No, this was...
Predated
this was, I think Aja Simone wasn't even born yet the first time someone. I heard this. Yeah.
Aja's older than you think.
Mm-hmm. No, you can call her out now and tell her some bitch in Tucson.
Actually, you should tell her.
Said it on a mountain in 1986 and a half.
On a mountain.
Not a bitch on Mount Lemmon said that to me and I almost crashed my car.
Tell Aja that story.
How's your brown eye? I don't think I want to ask that.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I don't know.
It's a conversation stopper.
Sure it is.
It certainly
stopper?
Is.
Stopper.
Just stopped this one.
Yeah. Well, and we're done.
Well, we'll start it with this. How about this?
We have a podcast to chat about. We've got a movie to talk about. And you can stop me if I talked about it last week, so I don't remember.
Okay.
What else? Oh, we have a fantastic series. We were very remiss in our Death Den last week. And I think I have a movie or book situation there to talk about. That's it.
All right.
We have a thoughtful vulgar
I have a little one,
later.
Too. A little add-on.
Oh, that's good.
All right, there's that. Well, coming up in the C Block, Hour 3, it's Al Perkins Entertainment. We'll also have Kat Carlson coming our way with two things. If she's got
maybe.
Two things. If
well,
she doesn't,
so maybe.
We'll just do something else. It's Q-Talk America.
Was it solid or liquid?
I think it started out as solid, but now I'm not so sure.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.